Welcome to another inspirational message from Church on the Rock Powell. Thank you for listening. And if you would like more information, you can visit us at www.therockchurch.co.za.
Right, good morning, church. I hope you're ready for the word. And listen, I need your help today as well. Don't be quiet. You're allowed to make a noise here. Amen. But let's pray first. Father, we want to give you this word. I pray, Lord God, you will open your word for us. I pray for revelation, Lord God. I pray for open hearts and open minds, Lord God, and that you will speak to us. And I pray, Father, that you will empower this word in Jesus' mighty name. I pray for your anointing now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, like Mark always said, repeat after me. My heart's open. My mind's ready. I won't be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. And that is my prayer today. I mean, we're talking about money here, so I need open hearts and open minds. Financial freedom, finding financial freedom. I believe all of us wants financial freedom. And for the next 2 weeks, we're going to unpack financial freedom and look at steps how to find it, how to achieve it. I think an important question is, how do you define financial freedom? And I think it depends on who you ask. For one person, it might be to afford a trip overseas, a vacation or whatever. For the next person, it might be just to have enough food on the table. You see, it will have a different meaning to different people. For you, financial freedom might be to be able to easily manage your finances without too much stress. Maybe it's to have enough to manage any emergencies. Maybe it's to be on track to retire one day comfortably. I mean, it's important. Maybe financial freedom is just to have a reliable income source or meeting your financial goals or to be debt-free. But also know that you can have all the wealth in the world, but it doesn't mean you have financial freedom. I'm going to say that again. You can have all the wealth, all the money in the world, but it doesn't mean you will have financial freedom. You see, if money has you, if money controls you, you are not living in financial freedom. It doesn't matter how much money you have. So financial freedom will have a different meaning to different people. But whatever financial freedom means to you, you need to understand that achieving financial freedom will be a process. And the decisions you take today will have an impact on your future. So today and next week is about encouraging you to make the right financial decisions to achieve financial freedom. We want you to make the right, bold financial decisions. Because it is not easy to erase the wrong financial decisions. Warren Buffett once said, we used pencil when we were small, but now we use pens. Do you know why? Because mistakes in childhood can be erased, but not now. And if you know Warren Buffett, I'm 100% sure that he talks about finances. Listen, it's not easy to erase the wrong financial decisions. And we must be very careful when we make our financial decisions because it will have an impact on the future. Yeah. Now, to find financial freedom, I believe there are three important areas that we need to work on. Number one is obedience. If we want to achieve financial freedom, we need to do what God tells us to do. Amen? Yeah. Make sure you're obedient to the one who has the power to bless your finances. Listen, you will require God's blessing to find financial freedom. Number two, we need to be fruitful. It takes effort. See, it doesn't help we're obedient, but we're not producing the fruit. We need to be fruitful. We need to work hard as well. Number three, managing your finances. Once again, doesn't help we're obedient and we're fruitful, we work hard, we're earning a proper salary, a proper income, and receive this blessing, but we can't manage the blessing. You see, if we lack in one of these areas, we will struggle to be financially free. Now, today we're going to focus on obedience. And yes, I know that we often talk about obedience in our offering messages, but money is such an important topic. No, it's actually the topic that Jesus talked about the most. You see, Jesus talked more about money than any other topic. And therefore, we will talk about money as well. See, money has such an influence on society, on families, on marriages. I mean, keeping people awake at night, causing strain on relationships. People need to work ridiculous hours to keep food on the table. For me, that is not financial freedom. And we want you to live a blessed life. We want you to live in financial freedom. And to live in financial freedom, we will need wisdom. Amen? We will need wisdom in our finances. And Proverbs 9 verse 10 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the starting point. It's the beginning of wisdom. And it's also the beginning of wisdom in our finances. You need to know that when the Bible talks about the fear of God, it's not being afraid, but to have an awe and a respect for God for who He is. Amen? That's the fear of God, to have awe and respect for Him. Then we find in Psalm 112 verse 1, praise the Lord, blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in His commands. You see, Proverbs 9 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom. And that will lead to a blessing, to a blessed life, according to Psalm 112. Now, what does it mean to live a blessed life? Is it finances? Or money? Is it finances only? Is it to be super wealthy? I mean, if you read the rest of Psalm 112, you see that it's not just about money. There's a whole list of blessings, and I'm not going to read all of them, and I'm not going to read the scripture, just mention a few. But it talks about the children will be mighty. It talks about, in verse 3, prosperity. Wealth and riches are in their houses. It says they will never be shaken. No fear of bad news. It talks about honor. You see, living a blessed life is not just about wealth and riches. Yes, it's included there. But it's not just about money. It's a whole list. And by the way, when this verse talks about wealth and riches, what does it mean? Does it mean that we'll be super wealthy? And to be honest, I'm not 100% sure. But what I do know is that wealth and riches will have a different meaning to me than somebody living in Western Zambia where we put in the wells. You see, wealth and riches are relative terms. And I don't think it means to be super wealthy, but it's definitely not to live in constant lack as well. To live in financial stress, that's not that as well. But like I said, I believe living a blessed life, yes, it includes money, but it's more than just money. And the reason for living a blessed life according to Psalm 112 is because of the fear of the Lord and find great delight in His commands. So you see, the goal here is God. It is fearing God. And I believe when we have fear God, when we have an awe and respect for God, I believe obeying His commands will come naturally. Yeah. Amen? Then we find from verse 2 the list of blessings. You see, the blessings for me is a byproduct of fearing God. But the problem is when the byproduct becomes the main product. When it all becomes about the byproduct. For example, wealth and riches. When wealth and riches becomes your focus, then you will have a problem. Because the Bible says you can't have a love for money. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. We'll look at it just in a few seconds. The same with other blessings. When honor becomes your focus, then you will have a problem with pride. When fear of bad news or no fear of bad news becomes your focus, then you will have a problem to step out in faith. You will have a problem to be bold. Amen? You see, we need to keep the main thing, the main thing. And the main thing is God. The goal is fearing God. And then we find the promise of a blessed life that will follow. But you focus your attention on God first. And like I said, the Bible warns us against the love of money. It says in 1 Timothy 6 verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Doesn't say money is the problem. The love of money. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. See, the love of money is the problem. And the following diagrams are an illustration when money becomes too important in your life. The love of money. See, the red circle represents money, and the blue circle represents your life. So you accepted Jesus in your life, but money is still a bit of an issue. Lord, I give you my life. I give you everything. But just leaving money alone. And you try your best to serve Jesus, and you are found in church. You are actively involved. You're serving on a dream team. But you're eager with money. And here's the problem. When the money starts to move, your life tends to follow the money. That might be in the form of longer hours at work, more time away from home. Might involve moving to a new city in pursuit of that dream job. That results in your life being drawn to the money and away from God. And you start to spend less and less time in church and fellowship and isolating yourselves. And your money might get bigger and bigger. But the problem is often that your life gets smaller and smaller. Marriage falls apart. Issues with the children. The wrong friends, etc. That is certainly not living a blessed life. But that does not mean that Christians can't be wealthy. Let me explain it like this. If you place God in the center of your life, including your finances, then blessings in all its shapes will follow, including your finances. Do not chase after the blessing. You see, your life will expand and your life will be blessed. Chase after God and the blessing will follow. Amen? Psalm 23 says, goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Don't chase the blessing. The blessing will follow you. Don't chase money. Amen? See, if you chase money, yes, your money might get more and more, but the money will control you, and the end result will not be good. Listen, if you're under control of money, then you will definitely have less financial freedom. Chase after God. For me, one of the most important points today is don't chase money. Chase after God, fear God, and blessing will follow. Amen? Let's go back to Psalm 112, verse 1. It says, blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in His commands. So what does the Bible command us regarding our finances? I mean, you know the answer. Tithes and offerings. Leviticus 27:30, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs, important word, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. He said, tithe belongs to the Lord. In other words, it is God's property. Therefore, Malachi 3:10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Not give, bring. You bring to the storehouse that which belongs to the Lord. You don't give it because you cannot give something that is not yours. You bring it because it's God's property. In fact, Malachi 3:8 says that they robbed God by not bringing their tithes and their offerings. It says, will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. See, they robbed the one who had the power to bless them. But it doesn't make sense. For me, that is foolishness at its best. It's like cutting off the hand that feeds you. But unfortunately, it still happens today. So that is God's command regarding tithing. And I know some people will question if tithing is still applicable today, and I will get to it. But I also believe it's very important to understand there are reasons for God's command regarding tithing. Why do we have the principle of tithing? See, the why is important. We need to have a strong why. Because if you don't know why you're doing what you're doing, you won't do it for long. And yes, a good answer to that is obedience because God said so. But I believe there are three important reasons why we have the principle of tithing. And the first one is, number one, we bring honor to the Lord when we tithe. Proverbs 3 verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. What is the first fruits? It's your tithe. We need to understand that God is holy and He is worthy of our honor. Amen. Malachi 1, God is talking about sacrifices. And He says in verse 6, a son honors his father and a slave his master. If I'm a father, where is the honor due to me? If I'm a master, where is the respect due to me? Says the Lord Almighty. Where is the honor that is due to me? Where is the respect that is due to me? Then we find from verse 6 onwards, He says, but you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Here they sacrifice the lame and the blind and the sick and the whatever animals. And yes, I know we're not giving animals today, but the principle is still the same. Try offering them to your governor and see if he would be pleased with them. With it. Listen, God is worthy and He deserves our best and our first. If not, it's not honoring to Him. And by giving our tithe, our first, our best to Him, we are honoring God. In Deuteronomy 8 verse, from verse 12 onwards, God said to the Israelites, and I'm not going to read it, just mention a few things that it says, when you eat and satisfied, when you have fine houses, when you settle down, and your herds and flocks grow large, silver and gold increase, etc. Then verse 17, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But then verse 18, but remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. It is God who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And how do we remember that? By putting Him first, by giving our best to Him. And we acknowledging God, we remember you, we honor you with our best and our first. Amen? Yeah. And tithing put us in a place where we constantly remember that God is our provider. And what we have comes from Him. So that is our first why. The second why is there is provision for ministry when we tithe. Once again, Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Why? That there may be food in my house. That there may be food in my house. You see, that is a why. Now, what is a storehouse? A storehouse is your local church. So if you're a visitor today, your local church is your storehouse. But for those of us who call the Rock our home, then this is our storehouse. A few weeks ago, Mark talked about the church and absolutely brilliant word. Go and watch it online. One of the points he said was that the church is the bride of Christ. And you'll agree with me that the bridegroom values his bride. The bride is beautiful. He loves his bride. The church is the bride of Christ. And surely God wants provision for his bride. Amen. And through the tithing, through the mechanism of tithing, there is provision for God's house. You see, the church needs provision to reach the lost. The church needs income to cover the expenses, to pay the rent and insurance or whatever. So that is our second why. You see, our tithes provide for ministry so that the kingdom of God can expand and advance. See, not all of us can be in ministry full time. But we can be providers that allow full-time ministry to happen. Can I say it again? Not all of us can be in ministry full-time, but we can be providers that allow full-time ministry to happen. So that is our third why. Second why. The third why. When we tithe, the 90% is redeemed. And this is a very important principle if you want to find financial freedom. It is very important what you do with the first portion. Because the first portion belongs to God. Exodus 13 verse 1 to 2. The Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me every firstborn male. The first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether human or animal. Leviticus 27, 32. Every tithe of the herd and flock, every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod, will be holy to the Lord. God says the first belongs to Him. And He says, give me the first lamb. It doesn't say wait till you have 10 lambs, then you can choose one, the least, the one with the least potential, the sick one. No, He says the first one. First goes to God, then 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11 to God, 12, 13, 14, 15, etc. Amen? Why? Because the first one is the redeeming one. The first redeems the rest. And the rest is then blessed. I want to give you an example of this in the Bible where the first redeemed the rest, or what happened when the first didn't redeem the rest. And that is when the Israelites entered the promised land. Now the first city was Jericho. And God's commanded them in Joshua 6 verse 17, it says, the city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Verse 19, all, not some of it, all the silver and the gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into His treasury. You see, God's command was clear. It was simple. Jericho was devoted to the Lord, and God commanded them to bring all the silver and the gold and the rest of the stuff into the house of the Lord. Why? Jericho was the first. You see, the first portion is the redemptive portion. If you give the first portion to God, the rest are redeemed. The rest are blessed. But if you read the next chapter, you'll see that one of them, Achan, took some of the silver, so he took some of the redemptive portion, and the result was that the Israelites lost their next battle against the city of Ai. You see, the first redeemed the rest. And by not giving the first or bringing the first to God, the rest wasn't redeemed or blessed. And the result was they lost the next battle. So do you see how important the first is? Another example of the principle of the first. You see, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the firstborn among many brothers and sisters in Romans 8:29. So Jesus is also the first fruit. God gave Jesus His first to redeem us. God gave Jesus His firstborn son when we were mocking Him, beating Him, and nailing Him to the cross. While we were yet sinners, Romans said, Christ died for us. Yeah. Jesus was the first, and He redeemed the rest. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You see, the first redeems the rest. Therefore, in your finances, this is extremely important. Don't give your first to the landlord. Because your landlord does not have the power to bless your finances. Yeah. I'm going to say it again. Your landlord does not have the power to bless your finances, but God does. Yeah. Amen. Nobody else has the power. Only God has the power to bless your finances. So it's very important what you do with the first portion, because the first portion belongs to the Lord. Don't make the same mistake as the Israelites with Jericho. So that's the three whys. Number one, we bring honor to God when we tithe. Number two, there's provision for God's house. There's provision for ministry. And number three, the tithe redeems the 90%. But like I said earlier, some people will question us, but is tithing still applicable today? Often you will hear an argument, it's the Old Testament law and blah, 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 blah. And I just quickly want to address that as well. See, the wise that we just mentioned, they were relevant in the Old Testament. But I think you'll agree with me, it's still relevant today. See, God is still worthy of our honor. We know Malachi 3:10. Four verses earlier, the Lord says, I'm the Lord, I, the Lord, do not change. You see, the same God that was worthy of our praise and our honor in the Old Testament is still worthy of praise and honor today. Amen? He's still worthy. His house still needs provision. And the 90% still needs to be redeemed. So the wise are still relevant today. Number two, we do not have a choice to ignore godly principles simply because they came through the Old Testament. Jesus said in Matthew 5:17, do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. It's simple. To give you a simple example, one of the Old Testament commands is you're not allowed to steal. The fact that we are now in the New Testament doesn't mean we can now steal. It's obvious. Number three, the Bible described tithing long before God ever gave the Old Testament law. You see, Abram, in Genesis 14, he already tithed. Jacob tithed in Genesis 28. Then hundreds of years later, God gave the law through Moses. So the principle of tithe existed long before the law. And number four, Jesus commanded as well. In Matthew 23, Jesus addressed the Pharisees and the hypocrisy. And he said, if you read the whole passage, you will see that the Pharisees, I mean, they were wicked. They were really bad news. And Jesus said, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. But one thing they did was they tithe. And you need to understand that tithing will not save you. It doesn't help you tithe, but you don't know God. And Jesus said to him in verse 23, woe to you, teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin. In other words, they tithe. But you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. In other words, do both. As simple as that. You practice the latter without neglecting the former. What is the former that Jesus talked about? It's the tithe. So Jesus said, you must tithe. Don't neglect the tithe. Now, if Jesus said that, then we should do it as well. Amen? For me, that settles it. The tithe is still applicable today. It's still applicable today. But I also want to remind you that God's promises are still applicable today. And that is where you will find financial freedom. Blessed are those who fear the Lord and find great delight in His commands. And we know that God's promise is a promise of blessing. God's promises are yes and amen. And this is the first step in finding financial freedom. Because the promises are promises of blessing. Just to mention a few. Malachi 3. God says He will open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing we won't have room enough. Just that is financial freedom. Verse 11 says He will prevent pests from devouring your crops. In other words, there's protection for your harvest. Proverbs 3 verse 9, verse 10 says, your barns will be filled to overflowing. Once again, it talks about financial freedom. At the start, I ask, how do we define financial freedom? This is financial freedom. When your barn is overflowing. It doesn't say how big your barn is, but there's overflow. Yeah. Amen? Some people's barns will be bigger than others, but there's overflow. In other words, there's financial freedom. Psalm 112 verse 3 says, and we already look at it, wealth and riches will be in their houses. Just verse 7 says, they will have no fear of bad news. How amazing is that? I mean, you can be the wealthiest person in the world, but you have constant worry about the stock markets and what happened here and what happened there. And that's not financial freedom. No, we want no fear of bad news. Deuteronomy 28 verse 8 says, the Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. And the list can go on. Yes, we bring our tithes to honor God because He's worthy. Yes, we bring our tithes because there's provision for God's house. Yes, we bring our tithes to redeem the 90%, but there's also a promise of blessing. And through the blessing, you will find financial freedom. You see, the blessing is the reward for obedience. If you want to find financial freedom, this is your start. You see, why would you not be obedient to God when it comes to your finances? Put Him in the center of your whole life, including your finances, and your whole life, including your finances, will be blessed. Amen? And often people's finances are in a mess. And the first step in sorting out their finances is to start tithing. And you may say, but I cannot afford it. Listen, you cannot afford not to tithe. You cannot afford not to redeem the 90%. And you want God to bless your finances, you need to make sure that the first goes to Him. We've heard how the tithe redeems the 90%. Remember, God has the power to bless your finances. Don't chase the blessing. Chase after God and the blessing will follow. Amen. Chase after God. That is the first step in finding financial freedom. Amen. And the worship team can come up. So today we look at a 10% and obedience. But next week we're going to look at the 90%. You see, finding financial freedom, I believe, starts with obedience. But it doesn't end with obedience. I mean, we need to be fruitful. We need to manage our finances. It talks about stewardship. So I want to encourage you, come next week. It will help you to find financial freedom. And like I said, financial freedom is a process. But that process starts today, and it starts with obedience. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we want to honor You and praise You and glorify You, Lord God. Thank You, Father, that You are an awesome, awesome God. And Lord, I just want to say today, Lord God, You are still worthy of our honor and our praise, Lord God, because You are an awesome God. And we worship You for who You are. And I pray, Lord God, that as a church, Lord God, that this word will be revelation, Lord God, that we will be bold enough to step out in faith and to trust You with our finances, that we will put You in the center of our life, including our finances. And I thank You, Father, that we know that blessing, that the blessed life will follow, and financial freedom. And you may sit here and we talk today about financial freedom. But first of all, you need to find freedom in life. You need to find Jesus Christ. You see, chase after God and freedom will follow. And Jesus said in John verse 12 that all those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. And you need to know that you have a right to become a child of God. Nothing that you did in the past can disqualify you from becoming a child of God. And you might say, but listen, I'm not good enough. But you need to know that through Jesus, we are redeemed. Jesus was the firstborn, the redemptive portion, and the rest is redeemed. Jesus paid a price so that we can be free. And Jesus said, I come to give you life and life in abundance. My question to you today is, do you experience that life and that life in abundance? And it's a question about eternity as well. And you have a choice. You can either choose life and freedom, or you can choose death and bondage. It is your choice. But I want to encourage you today, choose life. And you have a right to that, because of Jesus. And Jesus said in John 14, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So there's only one way, and that is God's way. Amen? Only one way, and that's God's way. And that way is through His Son, Jesus Christ. So today, I want to give you the opportunity to do it God's way. If that is you, I want to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not calling you to the front. I just want to know where you sit so I can pray for you. I see that hand. It's actually very simple. People can make it complicated, but it's very simple. Listen, because you don't have to earn it, because Jesus paid for it. The only thing you need to do is you need to accept it. Is there any more hands? I see that hand here. Say, Lord, I want to give you my life. It's a free gift. And I want to encourage you to accept it today. Say, Lord, I've tried it my way, but I want to do it your way. Jesus, I want to acknowledge that you died for my sins and that you were raised again. Lord, today is the day I want to chase after you. Today is the day I found you. Today is the day I found life. Lord, come into my life. If that is you, just raise your hand and say, that is me. I want to give my life to Christ. Is there any more hands? Jesus said, I'm standing in the door and knocking in Revelation 3:20. Are we going to open the door for him? It's a bold decision, but it's the best decision you can make. Don't waste another day without God. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand together and if you raise your hand, let's pray this prayer together. Lord Jesus, today I'm making you my Lord. I give you my life. I give you my past. And I give you my future. Jesus, I open the door for you. Come into my life. And please forgive me my sins. I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. And I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. And all God's people say, amen and amen.